Our next keynote presentation is with Timothy Dolson, who's the North American lead for the Statistical Center of Excellence for Measurement Science with the Nielsen Company. He'll be talking about bridging metrics for better health and economic outcomes. Thank you for joining us, Timothy.
Good morning. This is my first trip to Montreal, so I want to start off by saying merci. Merci for giving me this opportunity to participate in this conference and this incredibly important project. Nielsen, we're not experts in obesity or chronic diseases, but we are experts at metrics related to advertising and consumer purchases that can contribute to obesity or chronic diseases. And that's really what I want to talk about today is some of the information that we have available to us, and more importantly is available at the fingertips of advertisers and manufacturers who are very clever at using the information to sell their products. And I think it would be very helpful for this group to have that same type of information at their fingertips to possibly combat or drive policy or possibly change the way some of these products are packaged or sold. So I was very interested in the emphasis on metrics, and that's really what I'm hoping Nielsen could provide some assistance on in this project. But Nielsen, Art Nielsen started the company in 1923. I'm not sure if anybody's really familiar with the history of the company, but Arthur C. Nielsen started in 1923. And he had a vision, and it's interesting that we've had many changes in our structure over the years, but yet today that vision is actually identical today as it was in 1923. And that vision was that it wasn't enough to really know about products that were purchased in a store or what the price was or where it was placed on the shelf. It was actually also important to know about the influences that may have contributed to that person purchasing that product. You know, be it a sugared cereal or a carbonated beverage, whatever the case might be, it was important to know what influenced that person to purchase that product. And that's what Nielsen's vision was. We wanted to measure the purchases of those products, but we also wanted to measure things like advertising on TV, how people sought information on the internet. Did they see a billboard driving down the street? Things like that that may have influenced them to purchase that product. So that's what Nielsen endeavored to do. In fact, historically, one of the best examples of that when we started measuring TV in 1950, that unit of our company actually lost money for 20 years before it actually turned a profit. But Nielsen was very committed to knowing what influenced product purchases. So, Nielsen has a lot of syndicated services that we provide to advertisers, again, at their fingertips. They have tools that they can go right to their laptop or their mobile device and get information about products that were purchased, you know, the previous week. So it's very, very useful to them, and again, it could be very useful to this endeavor as well. But there also are custom capabilities within Nielsen that I think could be useful here as well, which I hope to talk about a little bit. Because it's just, again, it's not just the product that's being purchased, but it's some of the other things that influence that. So we have, again, retail measurement that provides the information about what is purchased, but we also have consumer panels that tell us who purchased those products and a little bit about the attributes of those persons. We also have media measurement. This, again, comes in many forms. We have, you know, TV, radio, outdoor measurement, as well as newspapers, magazines, and online and mobile as well. Now, today, I can't tell you everything about Nielsen services that our clients have, because I only have 20 minutes. But I want to give you kind of an overview of what is available, and if there is some interest, we could certainly meet again in, you know, smaller groups and delve into the information that may be useful to this project. So again, we actually track product purchases, about 4.7 million products across the globe. We actually do this measurement in about 80 different countries around the world. But again, it's just the matter of the store purchase, what the price was of that product, some information about the packaging, where the package was displayed in the store, were there any promotions surrounding that product, were there coupons available that might have been used to purchase that product. Again, certain influences that may have caused someone to purchase that product. We also have information related to advertising. And again, this is a very influential means of getting people to purchase products. And again, our advertisers and manufacturers are very clever at advertising to make it very effective to get people to buy products that may not be all that good for them. So this is, again, information that we have across these 80 countries where you can actually determine when ads were placed, where they were placed, whether it be on TV or online or other forms of advertising, and, again, at your fingertips, electronic means of being able to access this type of information. Again, getting into the retail and panel measurement approach, again, we track sales of products in 80 different countries, again, knowing information related to the price of these products, the frequency that they were purchased, where they were placed in the stores, things all along those lines. And that measurement is done at 59 different countries around the world. We also have the home scan panels. Again, we'll provide you with information about who actually purchases those products each week. You can also get information as to whether they purchase a given product with another product, how often they purchase those products, and again, did they use a coupon or some other means to get a discounted price on the products. Again, the very useful information in terms of tracking what is being purchased. You can also drill down a little bit, which I think would also be very useful for this project. You can actually look at individual store or store area level information, and we also have information about those geographic areas. So if you see a higher frequency of a population purchasing a carbonated beverage, for instance, you may find that is more prevalent in areas that tend to be a higher penetration of African-American homes or higher penetration of Hispanic households, which may provide more information for you to focus on in terms of driving policy. But the home scan panel globally is about 250,000 homes, and they use a couple different forms of collecting the information. Many of the homes collect electronically and actually have a handheld computer. So when they bring the products home, they will scan the UPC label to indicate that they purchased that product. Now, there are also some perishable products that don't have UPC codes, so they use a diary to collect that information as well. But I think in terms of the custom opportunities, we also interview our households annually. And some of the information we collected this year is related to ailments that they may have had during the year, such as obesity or diabetes. We collect information about the severity of the ailment and the length of time that they've had the ailment. So this could be very useful information for tracking purchases. And it also provides information related to treatments they may have undertaken to address their particular ailment. We also have pretty standard classification information about the label or the product. And I won't go these into great detail, but we have these pretty consistently across all the different countries. There is some information available related to the label as to whether it was low sodium or low sugar or low calorie, things along those lines. But we do have information related to product claims. Did the product actually claim to be low calorie or low sodium, which I think could also be very useful information. This one is actually very dear to my heart, and that is tracking internet users. And I think that the best way to describe the useful information, how it's collected, is really to talk about a personal situation of mine. About a year and a half ago, I was actually about 40 pounds heavier than I am today. So I thought I'd better eat healthier and lose weight and exercise more. So I started doing that, but I actually went out to the internet to try and find information about how I can lose weight. What types of food can I eat that I would fill me up but still be low calorie and allow me to lose the weight? So I found a website. I don't recall the URL, it was rather lengthy. But I did find this website, and it was very, very useful. I could go in there, and I entered my height, my weight, and it computed my BMA, and it promptly displayed on the screen that I was obese. So that was a great motivator that I was going to continue to lose weight until the point where it no longer said obese on the screen. So I did, and this website allowed me to enter my current weight, my goal weight, would allow me to enter my exercise each day, the food that I ate, and it would tell me whether or not I was going to reach my goal or not. And every time that I would lose a pound or I would maybe run an extra mile, I would then go to Facebook and I would then post and let all my Facebook friends know that I lost that pound or ran that extra mile, all three of my Facebook friends. I found that this was, you know, very useful in terms of motivating me to lose the weight, but more importantly, if I was a Nielsen panel member, every entry that I made, every website that I went to, every article I read about weight loss would be collected and would be known and could be shared with you all, providing information about my activity on the internet, as well as any activities I did on the social networks as well. Now we get into the mobile, and this actually is part of Nielsen's what we call three-screen strategy. It really is no longer enough to measure television viewing in the home, because a larger percentage every day of TV viewing will occur on your on the internet, on your PC, or your mobile device. So now we are actually seeking to measure viewing and ad exposure and things along these lines that occur on the mobile devices. And then there's the traditional TV. We actually have information for 210 different local markets, which is primarily measuring viewing to the broadcast and local cable channels in those markets. But we do provide TV measurement in 29 different countries as well. We also do have national audience measurement in the United States as well. So this does provide information as to how people would be exposed to advertising on TV. But not only do we have information in terms of exposure to the advertising, but you could also see the creative that people would see, to see how the advertisers or manufacturers are sending their message and really influencing people to buy the products that they're selling. Then lastly, this is actually a new capability that Nielsen is embarking on. And actually, the most recent application was in South Africa for the World Cup soccer tournaments. We actually selected a sample of people and gave them this cell phone device, which allowed us to text questionnaires at random points during their stay at the World Cup, and asking them information about what activities they were doing at that time related to the World Cup event. And any opinions they had or what exposure they had to advertising or activities within the World Cup event. So it was, very useful information, and with real-time information, which may have application here as well in terms of identifying what activities people are doing, what food products they're eating, things along those lines that can be collected, and their opinions about those things that can be collected real-time. So again, we have many clients, whether they be advertisers, manufacturers, networks, stations, and things along those lines. And again, all these folks are very skilled at advertising their products and influence people to purchase these products, whether they be healthy or not. And I think it could be very useful for you all to have the same type of information available to you. Again, if you're trying to drive policy or send messages, this would be information that would be quite useful to have. So thank you.
Do we have any questions or further discussion with Timothy?
All right. I think the idea of bridging matrix on food, agriculture, food industry, and health, and bridging metrics that are presently used from a proprietary perspective with others that are philanthropy or civil society, if we are really to equip our complex system with the information that is needed to be more balanced in the policy, we need to merge. We need to bridge systems. How do you see any thoughts of how to move forward in this direction? Because it is a core part of the Brain to Society diagnostic projects, trying to bridge metrics from global to community, but also from agriculture, industry, health, and so on.
So your question is how to proceed in merging this in this information. Well, we have a number of representatives of Nielsen that we could meet with in a smaller group. I believe we actually have an office here in Montreal. In fact, I think we have people that have been involved historically in this project. But again, the databases are there. The capabilities are there. Just a matter of, I guess, getting the two groups together and discussing them.
Yeah. Anyone else?
A lot of information, a lot of noise, right? I would claim, there's this famous telling, wisdom is lost by knowledge, knowledge is lost by information. There's even, actually the famous US poet, Eliot, who said that. Actually, we are not in a society of information, we are in a society of noise. So what I mean is that we are overwhelmed with information. I mean, in the field I know quite well, in many different applications, particularly in finance, everything you read, all the news is inadequate, too late, disinformative, manipulated, useless. Okay, so that's the very brutal attack. So you collect everything. The big challenge is, of course, to put meanings in it. You have not said anything about it.
Right.
Can you give another 20-minute presentation? Because this is the most important aspect.
No.
That's an incredible point. That it is, they're huge databases, millions and millions and millions of bytes of information that need to be, assembled and information gleaned from. My personal feeling as a statistician is I tend to favor the scientific method. The way I would approach is I would have a research question first. I mean, how many people are buying sugared cereals? Okay, I would then go seek that information in the database, and that could be pulled pretty easily. With people with diabetes, did they buy sugared cereals more than people without diabetes? Again, that would be a question that I would go into the databases to answer. I would avoid going into databases that, to seek information without some guidance as to what the question is that you're trying to answer. And I think Nielsen has people that could help in that regard. We actually have statisticians and researchers of various social disciplines, about 1,000 of them in 110 different countries around the world. So I think there is some opportunity there to maybe collaborate on some of these research questions and getting access to that data. Another question?
So a quick question about the access to that database. I understand your clients must pay a good price for creating and getting access to the data. How much of this is in the public domain, and how much of it can be put into the public domain so that, researcher with less resources than right. Disney can access and use it?
Yeah, that's and actually I'm not in sales, obviously. nor would I ever want to be. You're right. Our clients pay a lot of money for this information. And I'm not sure I could address the question as how we could provide it to you all at some more discounted price or anything like that. However, we do have a collaboration with the University of Chicago, and there may be some opportunity to work with them where some of this information.
You mean collaboration, like they have access to part of the information
right.
you produce?
Exactly. So there may be some opportunity for discussing that with them. Again, I don't know the entire details of that relationship, but I do know the relationship is there. So it might be one opportunity.